Every woman knows the feeling. That quick glance over your shoulder in a parking lot. The moment you grip your keys a little tighter walking home. That's exactly why She's Birdie created Birdie 3.0, a personal safety alarm designed by women for women. Just pull the pin and Birdie sounds a loud, attention-grabbing siren. We are talking as loud as a jet engine at 100 feet to help deter danger and alert people nearby. And the new Birdie 3.0 is even better. It's rechargeable, includes a built-in flashlight, and features an on and off switch, so it activates only when you want it to. No embarrassing false alarms. It's small, non-violent, travel safe, and easy to clip to your keys, bag, or backpack, so it's always within reach. It's also super cute and comes in tons of colors to match basically any outfit, so you actually want to have it on you, because everyone deserves to feel safer. Learn more and get your Birdie 3.0 today at cheesebirdie.com.
Welcome back to Big Trouble in Little Podcast. I'm Andy.
I'm Chaz.
I'm Joe Dubs.
I'm a monkey. I'm Zach.
This is episode 328, part three of Too Big to Fail. We're talking about Super Mario Brothers. Again, not the cotton candy DreamWorks cash-in. We're talking about...
Yeah, the good movie. Just say it.
We're talking about the quality one from 1993. The live action opus from a bunch of people who would never work in Hollywood again. I wonder why.
Oh my goodness.
I chose this movie. This one's my pick. I watched this movie a bunch as a child, and you know, when you're a child, you're an idiot. I mean, I'm still an idiot, but I'm a different kind of idiot now. Like I'm the kind of idiot who owns one out of 300 of the imported Umbrella 4K box set, Trust the Fungus edition. It comes with a thick book with lots of behind the scenes stuff and lots of like postcards and the scripts. And again, 4K and Blu-ray and a whole Blu-ray just of behind the scenes stuff. Talking to the actors, talking to the special effects people. And I had to have this. Had to have it. This is number 157 out of 250, 300, however many there are. I don't know. But now I'm that kind of stupid. And honestly, I just had to justify owning that thing, so that's why we watched this movie.
Well, there we go.
Did the behind the scenes talk about how the director poured hot coffee on one of the extras and said...
I actually knew about that before. Now, I guess, okay, there's another layer to my stupidity. Yeah, I was always like, whatever, I liked the movie as a kid. Now it sucks. And it does suck. This movie sucks. But I heard about all the behind-the-scenes stuff. Like, this guy doesn't look dirty enough. We'll pour hot coffee on him. Are you an idiot? Like, what's wrong with you? That doesn't make any sense. And the actors hated the directors, and they were drunk all day long. And the movie went through several script rewrites and a few different directors, and it ended on a director pair, which usually doesn't work. You basically have to be the Coen brothers or else forget it. It ain't going to work. And it's just all the behind the scenes stuff for this movie is fascinating. To this day, someone needs to get their act together and make like a really well-made documentary about it. But the problem is you'll be stopped at every turn by, you know, Nintendo and a bunch of other people who have stakes in, you know, this intellectual property. But well, it's fascinating. The movie itself sucks, but everything about the movie is fascinating.
Well, I do like that Nintendo hasn't changed since back then either. You know, they still do the same practices. Be like, oh, it sells itself. Because back then, when they were given rights to, I forgot what company that picked up the rights for Mario, But they were just like, here it is for $2 million, while other production companies were getting like $5 or $10 million. They were like, we'll give you $5 or $10 million, and Nintendo was like, nah. But then they gave it to $2 million for this people or whatever.
For some reason, there's a somewhat out of place chapter. It might just be part of a chapter in the book Console Wars about this. And yeah, like you said, that like companies were like, we'll give you fucking $10 million just to let us make a Mario movie. And they're like, no, no, no. And then this Illuma, whatever they're called, light something company came along and said, we'll do it. $2 million. They said, yeah, we found our guys. No. And I think it bankrupted the company.
I think it's because the producer talked to two really high up people in Nintendo about this movie. Like he was pitching for them.
The book that's actually why the book talks about it, because it's wrapped up in some other decisions Nintendo made in the early 90s.
It was like Yamauchi and his son in law who worked in Nintendo of America. He was like super high up in Nintendo of America.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you know Tom Hanks was almost Mario?
Did you know Dustin Hoffman was almost Mario?
That would have been the move.
did you know Danny DeVito was almost Mario and he almost directed it?
Yeah, I heard about that. And
that
I
probably
also
would have been a better movie.
What? Man, I really should have looked all movie. This up. So you guys were talking about all this behind-the-scenes stuff. I didn't really have time to look into anything. And I just watched the movie for what it was. Granted, I'd watched it as a child. I did not remember a decent portion of it. And we'll get to that in a sec. But it sounds like the much more fascinating side of this is everything around how this shit sandwich was created.
Yeah, absolutely.
And all the what ifs. Man.
What's great about this film is Bob Hoskins hates this fucking film. He despises Super Mario Brothers, where in 2011, The Guardian asked him questions. They said, what is the worst movie you ever worked on? Super Mario Brothers. What is the worst thing that ever happened in your life? Doing Super Mario Brothers. And then he's like, if you could change one thing in your life, what would you do? Guess not being Super Mario Brothers.
Not only that, he said fucking Super Mario Brothers, that fucking terrible ass movie. That's like pretty much like verbatim almost what he says. And I think Dennis Hopper too, he was talking about how like his son was like,
his son wanted him to do it. Yep.
Yeah. And then he did it. And then he was like, man, this movie wasn't that good. He's like, well, you need shoes, son, or something. And he's Dennis Hopper saying it. And then he's like, I don't need shoes that bad, dad.
Yep.
I was like, damn, he burned it.
And Arnold Schwarzenegger and Michael Keaton were almost King Koopa, which would have been hilarious if it was Arnold.
I could see Arnold working. I don't see Michael Keaton doing it.
Yeah, that wouldn't. That'd be weird. But yeah, Arnold actually, that could have worked out.
You know who else
I thought of was Christopher Walken. Could have been King Koopa. That would have been hilarious and amazing.
Yep.
I mean, I know we're picking a bunch of what ifs, but I mean, honestly, weirdly for what ridiculousness they created, like Dennis Hopper was actually a pretty good fit.
He was, weirdly enough.
I mean, honestly, they just made, he's Lizard Trump, right?
They pigeonholed him into this like shitty role, and like he kind of, it seems like he's having fun with it. He might just be drunk, I don't know. But then they do every bad decision with that character. He looks stupid, his hair looks stupid. Like his characterization is all off from like what you would expect King Koopa to be like, and then they
a weird germaphobe or something.
They put it, why? That doesn't okay, but whatever. And then they put him in the de-evolver thing, and it's like, oh, cool, he's gonna be like a dinosaur guy. No, nothing.
Nothing happened.
Yeah, he showed lizard eyes for a split second, and then got really mad.
That's it. Oh, man. That's all you get.
They ran out of budget.
Yeah, maybe.
So, this movie, I mean, there's still like behind the scenes stuff I do want to talk about, but I also want to talk about this movie.
If we must.
We have to. For posterity. All
right. Dino. All right,
I'm not going to lie.
What?
The first five minutes of the film, I'm like, what in the fuck is this?
It's so insane.
Like, there's no way this is a Mario Brothers movie.
So, like, this is how you could tell, like, the, you know, producers and, like, you know, old fucking white dudes being like, Super Mario Brothers, how can we make this in a movie? But what if a meteor hit the fucking Earth, killed it, but dinosaurs ended underground in some Dino Manhattan because of a dimension thing? And
no, not what if. That did happen.
Yeah, there was. Yeah, that was literally what happened in their story.
Something I discovered only during this watching and researching it, by the way, an uncredited role, the narrator at the beginning of the movie is Dan Castellaneta, the guy who does the voice of Homer Simpson and a bunch of other Simpsons voices.
Oh, really?
Yeah. In the 90s, like, all the Simpsons crew were like, oh, we're going to branch out. And they tried, and none of them did any good. And they said, I guess we'll just make Simpsons for 30 more years.
There it is. That's awesome.
Yeah, and just the concept, like, I'm okay with the casting of Mario and Luigi. Even though
Bob Hoskins is actually the only good thing about this movie. Perfect yes. casting.
John Leguizamo, I guess he could pass off as an Italian, I guess.
I get, like, I think it's kind of a hindsight thing. Like, I like the characterization that Luigi has found over the years, and this flies in the face of that. But in 1993, there wasn't much. There was, like, the Saturday morning super show, and that was kind of it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Still, the characterization of Luigi seemed off, and that's not really John Leguizamo's fault. But for what they were going for, John Leguizamo works.
Oh, sure. Like, it almost made it, like... The movie almost makes Luigi the main character.
Yeah, just about.
Yeah. And Mario is like an afterthought with his, I'm just a Brooklyn plumber with my Brooklyn queen, and I don't care.
It's weird they throw in the thing that he's an orphan, and he was brought up by his brother Mario. It seems unnecessary.
His uncle.
Oh, you don't know your family? Me neither. My brother brought me up. We don't know anybody. And then they like, okay, I have follow-up questions. What does that have to do with anything?
Yeah. Maybe it's a pickup tactic. He's just trying to get in her pants. Yeah, me too.
It very well could have just been that type of thing, and there's nothing to it. I'm saying, like, there's nothing to it. It doesn't make any sense. So even, like, the name thing, they, like, do this stupid, oh, my name's Mario. I'm a Luigi Mario.
What? I fucking hate that so much.
It's funny. Yeah. It made me laugh because of how stupid it is.
It's the most, it's the one thing about this movie that has persevered since it came out. That is still a joke. Everyone still says that. Yeah. They're the Mario brothers. It's got to be the last name. What's his first name? Oh, it's Mario. Okay, well, there you go. Got your answer.
The cop was, like, so fucking annoyed with Luigi. He's like, what's your first name? Luigi. What's your last name? Mario. Luigi Mario. He's like, fuck this shit.
How many Marios are there?
The scene was so weird. Like, just so many of those scenes in the weird Dino New York was strange. Like, he had, like, some woman in, like, bondage gear, like shoving her foot into his neck while that whole scene was going on, that cop behind the desk. Like, what the fuck is happening?
So,
there's just so many things in this movie. I just don't know why this stuff is happening on screen.
So I think I could, like, do, like, behind the scenes here because this movie has no identity. Like, is it an adult film or is it a kid's film? Nobody fucking knows because
it's both.
This movie is a 90s film, and that's about it.
So when that guy, like, bought fucking the rights to Mario, like, the first script was an adult rated film. He wanted to turn Mario into, like, a dark film, which that's why you had, like, the Dino Hatton that kind of looked like
he was ahead of his time.
Demolition Man, remember when the...
If only he had Unreal Engine, we could have had it.
The fatal flaw of the Mario Brothers movie in 1993 is technology that didn't exist. Almost, man. Could you imagine?
Yeah, just for example, the scene where they go to the nightclub and everybody's dancing, it was supposed to be like a strip scene. Like, they hired strippers to be in that scene. And then, like,
I mean, Nintendo, we've all hired strippers to be in our movies.
To be fair, it made perfect sense. Just how it made sense that they were like, hey, you know what colors we should put them in? We should put Mario in yellow and Luigi in red. It makes all the sense.
Fuck.
At least the jumpsuits were right.
I know. Right. I was a little worried. I was like, did I just, like, Berenstain Bears this whole thing and forget that they're going to make them wear the wrong colors? I thought I did for a second. But
the script apparently was to have, like, a strip scene, like an actual strip scene. It wasn't, like, hire strippers and to be in a movie to wear like a bikini. Like, they weren't going to be like full nude or anything, but Nintendo caught wind of this and they were like, what are you doing?
I mean, I get it.
Yeah.
I get Nintendo's stance on that one. That kind of makes sense.
But it's so funny because they just they didn't care about movies back then. They just relied like people were going to fucking see Mario movie. Like, we're going to succeed no matter what.
Yeah, just like some weird Russian company is going to develop a Zelda and a Mario game for CDI. You guys can do it. Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, it's Zelda. It's definitely going to make money. What's the problem?
Yeah.
Yeah. They were like, here, take our license, make us a beautiful movie, a beautiful steak, delicious filet. And they were like, here, we boiled a hot dog. Like, it's so grimy.
It's not even boiled a hot dog. They threw that motherfucker into a microwave and it exploded.
Like, the fact that they like took the term Mushroom Kingdom so far to just make the king a pile of slimy ass fungus and just have the fungus all over the place.
And it ruins every set in the movie.
Yeah, it's just fucking disgusting. It's awful. Like,
So I did a science experiment where I watched this movie three times.
You do some weird shit for science. Let's hear about this.
So I watched it initially because I had to do like an overnight shift while they're remodeling the store, so I can't really do anything besides be in the back. So I watched a movie sober and didn't care for the plot at all. I said, where is the plot? There's so much action. Why does it seem like Demolition Man meets fucking, I don't know, Matrix stuff going on and just every fucking action movie happening? And I'm like, this is not a Mario movie. This is just, they're like LARPing Mario into some type of fucking tabletop bullshit game. But anyway. Okay,
if you didn't know who these actors were, and no one told you anything about it, you knew no context, they just started showing you clips from this movie, you could definitely convince someone this was a low-budget porn.
Yes.
Like, right? It's got that quality to it. Sorry, continue, bud.
So the second experiment is I watched a movie on gummies. Because I was like, maybe if I have gummies, I can make sense of all this stuff. Dino Hatton, de-evolving. Why does he want to merge the two fucking dimensions together? I know he wants to take over the world, but why? Why did he need to be in mud? And I just kept on going. I still don't make sense of it, even though I'm high as fuck. And then the third one, I was just angry because it was so stupid.
Why did you watch it the third time angry and everything?
Because I was hoping to get better somewhere.
It's kind of a shame because, like, if I'd have known you were going to do that, because this is on archive.org if anyone's really, really interested. But in both the box set and again on archive.org, there's a work cut of like the initial, like, there was a whole different editor that cuts the movie together. And apparently it's like kind of better in a way. I haven't watched it. But you can, if you were going to watch the movie again, you should have watched that and then could have compared and contrasted them. But
true.
Unless you're going to watch it a fourth time.
No, I'm not watching it a fourth time.
what about all the other, like, we talked about the three big names. I mean, there's kind of Lance Henriksen's in the movie for like, you know, 2 seconds. But we talked about the three big names. What about all the other casting in the movie?
I wasn't a big fan of Daisy. I don't know why, but they gave her the most unflattering hair because that girl got a 5 head. Like,
you
sorry.
Got a 5 head too, motherfucker. Look at you.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's not in the Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah,
He's also not a woman.
He's going to be the female lead in a movie. I'm not a princess. I'm a grubby ass looking white man.
It was 1993. That hair was in. That look was in.
The thing that bugged me about her, and you know, people are going to find 100 examples that prove me wrong, but she always delivers lines and at the end of it leaves her mouth open, and for some reason it was really distracting to me.
It's like that guy from Final Destination who's always, his mouth's just always hanging open. It's like, what the fuck?
Wait, isn't that actually Mr. Goomba? Because I looked over and I'm looking at the cast, and it shows the guy that played Toad, and he literally just has his mouth wide open all the time.
Roger Nixon.
How are those Goombas? I just it doesn't.
No one knows.
They're like lizard Goomba, but they also have like tiny head, giant body. Don't make any sense.
Humanoid and everything.
Oh, and what
there is something interesting about their design that's actually like kind of funny.
Yeah, like I don't hate them. It's just it was so odd.
You know? Oh, I forgot. There is. I was segueing to something kind of interesting. They do that thing where they're gonna de-evolve King Koopa, and they don't really like follow through with it. But all of the concept art has what he was supposed to look like, but they like ran out of budget.
So I was right. They ran out of budget.
Yeah, pretty much.
God damn it!
What dinosaur are you from? The T Rex. I hated that so much.
Yeah, you got Bertha with the thwomp shoes.
That's how they jump.
There it is. Here's like the original.
Oh, it's reptile.
Yeah, it looks like reptile.
Like
a bunch of the concept art for this movie, like fucking kicks ass. But
they just could not make it happen.
Wait, this came out in 93. When did Mortal Kombat come out?
95.
Oh fuck.
So are you talking about the movie or the game?
No, the game. The game came out in 92, and Reptile existed before then, but there wasn't a concept of that detail.
Yeah, I was gonna say you couldn't clearly see what it looked like.
Yeah, Reptile, the character came first. Don't worry.
Okay, because I was wondering, like, maybe they were like, let's do this, and they were fucking Mortal Kombat's like, no, you can't do that.
No, Mortal Kombat's version of Reptile, I liked infinitely more with his weird, like, chameleon skin that's, like, weird, like, voodoo rainbow colors.
I just love, like, the different versions of Reptile in Mortal Kombat. What's up?
What's up? Mark can't give a concept.
Oh.
He looks like fucking a Thundercat. He looks like Snarf.
Yeah, he does kind of.
Who's the guy that draws the wispy looking Final Fantasy art for the old games? That's pretty cool.
It looks
like if he drew it, if he drew fucking Bowser, that's what it would look like.
Oh yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
But I kind of like the design of the Goombas just because it's interesting. Like it has nothing to do with the games. If you can divorce it from the games, at least like the premise is their brains are really small. But I don't understand the rest of it. But I like their big stupid coats. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I've always thought like that's the cosplay. Like if I was like one of these weirdos who has an Instagram account and makes money like making cosplays and go to conventions, that's what you do. You make a Goomba. That would rule.
You got to get four people to do them with you, and then you all get a waddle and do the dance.
Yep.
That's like the only thing I remembered as a kid about this movie was the dance.
The Goombas are dancing again.
Also the amazing practical effects to make Yoshi.
No, hey, Yoshi looks good. That's actually kind of legit.
It's ironic. Like, it actually looks really cool. Yeah, seriously. I really like Yoshi. And I was like, damn, he looks really cool. They haven't eat, like, eggs or anything, but whatever.
Yeah, but he doesn't do anything, which kind of sucks. Like,
yeah, exactly.
He looks great, but he doesn't matter.
He's just a pathetic little lizard.
Mario didn't get to ride him.
He's not big enough. That's for the sequel. They're teasing.
Oh, man. I wonder if that's going to come out.
Well, they wanted to, but it didn't happen.
Yeah. I mean, they tease a sequel really hard at the end of this movie.
There's still, like, some backstory stuff. Like, Nintendo, they, like, donated the scopes and stuff. That's why you saw them in the movie.
Yeah, super
scopes.
Yeah. And Nintendo never sent a rep to the movie theater, the movie production at all of this movie because they just didn't care. and the editing room apparently was locked out by some producers and stuff or something like that, where they were trying to get in and they had to call like the union to open up the door just so that they could be in the room.
Weird.
Yeah. It was a lot of shit. There's like so much shit to talk about, but like I teased earlier before about the hot coffee, where there's like two versions where the director like spilled the hot coffee to make him dirty, and he didn't know that his suit was open to get, you know, it burned a fucking extra, and he apologized. But John Leguizamo said he poured the hot coffee and said, "Well, it's just an extra." And walked
Jesus.
Away.
Jesus.
Fucking dick.
Yeah.
So, I will say, as far as our theme goes, too big to fail. All the movies that we have are on this list for different reasons. But I feel like when I look at the list of those movies, this movie perfectly embodies what that theme means. In that this movie was literally like, we're going to ride the name of this really popular franchise. There's no way this could go wrong, and it went wrong in so many ways.
Oh yeah.
Like, it's the perfect example of that.
This movie was a lesson to like all of Hollywood about adaptations.
I'm just really glad that this never happened again with any other video game movie.
Yeah, no, they learned their lesson, and every video game movie since then has kicked ass.
Yep. Oh man.
You guys remember when Doom, when it went to the first person mode in the movie?
Don't bring that movie up to me. All right. Are you ever going to watch this movie again?
I mean, no. Unless someone's like, hey, do you want to like alter your mind with recreational substances? Dubs
tried it. It didn't work.
Yeah. I don't know. You can make one hell of a drinking game out of this. I would watch this out of like some weird like morbid spite or something, but there's no way I'm going to go, you know what would make my day better is if I watch this movie. Yeah, I've never.
So we'll say what no. about a fan edit? What about the rough cut?
Maybe.
Zach, what about you? You going to watch this movie again? How many more times?
Yeah, I might watch it again.
Oh, all right.
Well, I get it, man. I get why there's like weird fandom around this movie. It's
fascinating.
It's fascinating to watch. I'm not gonna lie. At first, I was like having a good time because it was like it hit that spot of.
I'm too late. Sorry.
It's we got into this discussion and forgot. It hits that weird zone of it's so bad it's good for me for a while, and then like, I don't know. Like halfway through the movie, like the writing and everything slows down a lot. It seems like the pacing of the movie.
Yeah, you start to feel those like four script rewrites.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, it's slowing down for me. I'm not having as much fun. I still had enough fun with it and enjoy like the weirdness of it that I would probably watch it again sometime. I guess like it's a bad movie, but I kind of like it for what it is.
Yeah. Okay. No, I'm kind of that's the camp I'm in more or less. Like, and also like I have this like expensive stupid box set. So I kind of have to. I'm married to this movie now.
If you ever decide to go to a MAGFest or anything else, buddy, and you want to dress up as the Goombas, you let me know. I think I would do that with you. It would be fun.
I don't know. Like that's a lot. That would be that's some work.
Well, it's like a fun.
Someone's done it too. If you Google it, I'm sure there's an example out there.
I'll do that as a group cosplay. I also want to do the Joker and his goons from Batman. Like, you know. All the dudes in the purple leather jackets with the boombox, you got to do that.
All right, so who do you recommend this movie to?
People that like bad movies.
That's definitely a subset of people.
Yeah. The people who are dead inside.
People who like weird 90s movies, because this also falls in that category where like a lot of movies in the 90s came out were like just fucking strange.
It's definitely like a weird ass experimental like 90s movie kind of thing.
You know, I think it was the woman director in the pairing. She did like the Max Headroom shit. Right. That was like her big thing. Besides, I guess commercials and some music videos and all that. But Max Headroom is cool too, though.
Max Headroom is cool. That's a fact.
Bob Hoskins called the husband a stupid cunt. And the female fat cow.
Well, he probably
like I said, the crew fucking hated them.
Mm-hmm.
Bob, I don't know Bob Hoskins to ever have anybody say anything bad about him when he was alive. So I'm guessing if he said that about them, they probably deserved it.
Yeah,
yeah.
And For people on YouTube, because I usually do a slideshow, usually during the talk, but I'm kind of late to it, but I'm showing it now. It has John Leguizamo, because apparently also Nintendo sent, like, Super Mario World.
Hey, playing that SNES.
But they're doing, the picture shows it kind of like how WWE has the wrestlers watch TV, where they look to the side like this. So
it's supposed to be how Vince got that. He was like, hey, look at him. That's good shit.
They don't do that anymore, pal.
Yeah, they don't do it anymore.
Because if you could see by Bob Hoskins' hip over there, there's like this plastic like tray area. It's literally like a fucking TV and a fucking Super Nintendo on there, and they're just like looking sideways playing.
I mean, they were definitely posing. Like Nintendo Power definitely got those photos to run.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and the final question that we're only fielding for Too Big to Fail month: how do you fix this movie? Do you know? Is it a mystery?
Oh my god!
Write it off as a tax write-off, and just fucking
no, you can't destroy art.
No, I don't think that's the way to fix it. This is the art equivalent of someone got their headphones tangled, like the wires tangled in like the biggest cobbled mess ever. The best thing you can do is just either appreciate it for what it is or but never use them again or just set them on fire. Like, I don't think there's any fixing it. It is far too gone to the point it is its own living entity, right?
I have a theory on this, and I really wanted to talk about it. And it's not a very good idea, but I do have somewhat of a novel idea how to fix this. There was a lot of movies in the 80s and early 90s that did this thing where, you know, the fish out of water thing, that's what they do anyway. Mario and Luigi and Daisy go to Dino Manhattan, whatever the hell place is called, and they're fish out of water and everything's weird. You do that at first, and then you get back to the real world as soon as the script allows. That way you get away from all these stupid-looking sets, you get away from all the stupid-looking cars, you get away from all the stupid-looking clubs, and that way you can focus on, like, the costumes and writing and acting, and you just are in Manhattan. I really think that would have helped this movie a lot, because it is so distracting how stupid everything is all the time.
You know, a bunch of movies do that. They have done that before, though, and none of them were any good.
Yeah, I mean, I still think that's the best chance you got.
I think any change you make in an effort to make this movie better potentially just makes it worse.
The thing is, what made this movie terrible is a series of events, like a series of dominoes, script rewrites, people getting fired, bad hires. So in order to fix it, you got to go way back.
You got to time travel.
I don't know if there's one thing you can do. I mean, do you think Nintendo being on set would have fixed this movie? Like, obviously they would have said, "Whoa, no, this is stupid. You got to change this." But what would you make? Again, it's 1993, so you don't have you barely have Super Mario World, so you only have to work with what came before that. So what do you even make?
So whoever had the idea, maybe it was Dustin Hoffman or whatever, where it was like more comedy focused, that might have worked a little better.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, the funny thing is the implications are that this movie screwed the chance of another movie being made for 30 years. It took almost 30 years for a Super Mario Brothers movie to be made again. And yeah,
that might be better though. Like, it's a good thing we haven't been getting Nintendo slot movies for 30 years.
I mean, that's true. It's true. But also, like, this movie could have been just a little bit better and we would have. Right? Like, I think this movie was so bad that it prevented that from happening. So it's almost like it saved us from, like, an Avengers level threat.
You don't have to watch all this shit. You guys act like it's foisted on you and you have to watch it or something.
No, I have to. You have to watch everything.
That's what's interesting to me about this is if this had been just any old movie that starred Bob Hoskins, John Leguizamo, and Dennis Hopper, but you divorce the Mario intellectual property from it, it would still be an interesting movie that I'd be watching on like Tubi or something. Yeah. But that'd be the end of it. But because it's the Mario movie, it's like a cultural event. Like, this is, it's, the movie's a big deal. And like I said, it was a lesson to Hollywood about adaptations and creative control and, you know, dystopian dinosaur movies. It was like everyone looked at this and tried to learn from it. Some of them did, some of them didn't. But
most did not.
That's what fascinates me. You don't have to watch it, but it impacted a lot of things.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think. Like, I have no ways to fix this movie besides what you just said. Like, take the Mario franchise out of this, and I'd be like, all right, it's kind of a decent, you know, B movie, essentially, even though there's, like, big actors in it and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I'd be like, yeah, you know, I'll catch this if it's on Showtime or, you know, I came across it on a streaming, you know, service or something like that. Then I'd be like...
have you guys all seen the Super Mario Brothers movie from a couple years ago?
No, not yet.
No.
Yeah, I've watched it multiple times.
Oh, okay, well, I guess only Chaz can answer, but do you like that movie?
Yes, I think that movie's pretty good.
Oh, why?
I think it fits to the theme of what I expect the Mario Brothers to be. So I don't know if it's like an accuracy thing, but also the movie itself it's light, warm, it's funny. There's actually some really dark humor in it that I randomly didn't expect that I thought was entertaining. I don't know. Is it some type of like philosophical masterpiece? No, not at all. It's very much what it's supposed to be. It's very toned and bland and smooth-faced SpongeBob. Like, it's
a kid's movie.
It's a bubbly kid's movie, but it's all right, pretty good movie.
Can you use all of that to fix this movie?
No.
No. Too much. It's too
different. It's way too different.
The time's different.
Yeah, way too different. But this movie needs to exist, right?
Also, put some respect on SpongeBob. He's not that stupid lowbrow. Come on now.
No. I meant like the meme. Like it's you know the meme where he smooths himself out. There's like an episode. Oh. That's what I meant. Like he like literally makes himself like super smooth, and he's like, look at me, I'm clean. And, like that's what that makes me think of. Is
I thought you were trying to say something.
No. I fucking love SpongeBob. If I was a man.
I'm ready.
Yeah, I just think the dark tone in this movie also kind of hurts it. Like, I think if it was more vibrant colors and, you know...
That's kind of what I was fishing for, was it's so, like, grim. And, like, Mario isn't grim. Super Mario Brothers 3 isn't grim.
That right. That's the shit that was in back then. It was, like, everything from, like, early 90s.
Right. Is that like, edgy? Kind
of sci-fi or action. It was, like, this hard-edged, weird... shit.
Dystopia. Edgy metal
dystopia
90s paintbrush bullshit. No, you know, like, oh, go ahead.
You know what I would like rather have, like, it, to make it more vibrant is like
colonoscopy.
That too. Mario and Luigi are like on vacation from their plumbing job, and they come across like this, like, I don't know, Jurassic Park fucking like area. And then, like, some shit happens where,
Dinosaur Land,
like Bowser and stuff and all that crap. But no, like, just this like humanoid fucking evolved dinosaur land, Dino Hatton, is just like so fucking stupid. It just it reminded me of a bunch of like late 90s, early 2000s, like sci-fi shows and movies and stuff. Where it's like, you know, look at all the poor people. They're underground and stuff. Like Planet of the Apes type of stuff. Like that.
Like Demolition Man.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, it's. I don't think there's any way to fix the movie. That said, looking at the newer movie, a lot of the things that I like about that movie, though, too, are things that, like, it has so many great references to the history of Nintendo, but so many of those things happened after this movie. So that's also like a whole thing you can't even add to this movie.
Yeah, you can't have enough member berries in this one.
Exactly. Like that movie is like riding hard on the tails of nostalgia, and that's not a bad thing. But otherwise, yeah, it's a pretty bland kids movie, but it's got some funny moments. But yeah, I don't think there's any fixing this movie, but it doesn't need to be fixed. It's fine being the 4 out of 10 that it is.
4. Ooh, that's generous.
What do you rate it?
I don't know, probably a 2 or 3.
It's not
okay.
I've seen a lot worse than this.
Listen, that's the thing, is this movie sucks. It's bad, but like I almost enjoy it in a weird morbid way. And
When people talk about bad movies, they always say, "Well, it's not offensively bad." This movie's offensively bad.
I've seen fucking worse than this.
This is the worst movie ever made. I'm just saying this movie like insults its audience. It insults its source material. It insults its actors. It's an insulting movie.
If this came out today, I think you have a lot of people pissed off that it's not doing the source material. Because remember how
people are obsessed about the source material. But I don't know. That's why. Like the movie is so overtly bad decision after bad decision. It's just it's outrageous, and that's what's fascinating about it.
Oh, they just totally took the piss out of the whole thing. And I don't know if that was like out of they genuinely thought it was a good idea. How much of it was like I'm doing some weird like satire? I think I'm like smarter than everyone, or if it was out of spite. Like I would be so.
Might have thought that.
I mean, I have it's so hard to know, right? But yeah, this movie is something. But I will say this is a mild spoiler for next week. This is not the worst movie that I've watched in the last month. Much less. Like, you know, being a terrible movie. So,
oh, this is not okay. All right, you got my attention now.
You got what I said. Yeah, this is not gonna be. It's not gonna be the worst movie that I watched this past month. I'll leave it at that.
Wow. You can't save this movie again. Don't watch this movie. Is my advice to any listeners. Like, it's interesting, and I've never read them. I'd like to one day, but it's a time sink into something that's like interesting, but not. The most interesting thing, at least 2 of the scripts are fully readable online. They're in the box set that I got too, but you can read them for free anytime you want. And I read like a breakdown of some of the stuff they changed. And at some point, someone talented was involved with this movie, and then those people got fired, or who knows what happened. But who cares? Don't watch this piece of shit. Just go play a video game. Fuck it. Like, why would you want to watch a Super Mario movie? What's the purpose of that? It's such a waste of time. But speaking of waste of time, we have one more too big to fail movie. Dubs, what is it?
It is AI, Artificial Intelligence, a Kubrick movie that got finished vaguely. That got picked up by Steven Spielberg. Did he perfect it?
Well, it's in the too big to fail month, so it's not looking good.
Is it a good movie? I don't know. Chaz is kind of like showing his cards already.
Maybe a little bit.
Yeah, it stars a kid from The Sixth Sense, so
whoa,
yeah.
I don't know his name either, so
I know he gets fatter later.
Haley Joel Osment.
I trust your opinion.
Yep, sure is.
Oh, okay.
It's his name.
Yeah.
I mean, I know who Haley Joel Osment is. I didn't realize it was him in Sixth Sense. I haven't seen a movie in like a long time.
I remember it being really long, and I always remember the last act. I kind of like fucking trail off. So let's see if that continues.
All right. Well, speaking of. Continuing with other movies, now we got to talk about what we've been watching, playing, and doing. I'm gonna go first because mine's short and sweet. I was on vacation most of the week and I was at the beach and it was boring, but I made a point. I didn't take my Switch, I didn't take my Analog Pocket, I didn't take my PlayStation Portal. I just took a book and I didn't watch any movies while I was there. But when I got home, I watched 3 movies and also watched the Spanish Grand Prix. Let's talk about the Spanish Grand Prix first. Why not? Was it a good race, Zetko?
Yes.
Okay, good. Now, the Spanish Grand Prix is peaks and valleys. The peaks are at the beginning and very much the end. And then the middle of it, it was like, whatever. It's just pretty by the numbers. But yeah, the last 3 laps were just out of control.
You were insane. Max lost his mind.
He sure did it. He went full Mad Max. But yeah, Spanish Grand Prix was okay. It was interesting. Do you think Max is going to get another penalty point and lose and be banned from a race this year?
I don't.
Did you see that after the penalty points he got, he only has one left, and then they have to kick him from a race like they did K-Mag last year?
Oh, no, I didn't see that.
Okay. Oh, no, he's got – I can't remember what the limit is. I think it's 15, and he's at, like, 14 or 13. It's something like – maybe it's 12. I think the limit's 12, and he's at 11. But if he gets one more penalty point, he's banned from a race. But there's a lot of people who have this conspiracy theory because Lance Stroll couldn't compete in the Spanish Grand Prix because his wrist is all fucked up. But – in order, like, apparently he might also miss the Canadian Grand Prix due to the surgery he's having, which means Felipe Drugovic will drive for him. But if Felipe Drugovic comes and drives for Aston Martin, he will be unavailable to drive at Le Mans. And if he's unavailable to drive at Le Mans, but Max Verstappen gets his ass banned, then Max is going to go drive at Le Mans at his place. So Max is like, I gotta get fucking banned! Because that's all he wants to do. He's always talked about driving at Le Mans. He wants to drive in WEC. But it's just, you know, there's no money in it. It's not as interesting and popular. But I don't know. It's a funny, funny thing people are saying. But anyway, Spanish Grand Prix was fine. I watched three movies. I watched Happy Together, which is directed by Wong Kar-wai. He did In the Mood for Love, which you guys all love that movie. So you would love Happy Together. Wong Kar-wai is weird. I was discussing this with a friend. Every movie I see from his, I'm like, oh, shit, is that my favorite movie from him? God damn. But I don't know. Happy Together is great. It's definitely worth watching. But I think my favorite is still Fallen Angels. I watched Beau Travail. I might be mispronouncing that. It's French. But it's about a bunch of soldiers in the French Foreign Legion. And this guy is obsessed with this other, like, this recruit. And decides he's going to, like, kill him, maybe. It's weird. It's kind of an adaptation of damn it, who wrote it? Was it Hemingway? I can't remember. Someone wrote a short story, Billy Budd the Sailor or something, and it's an adaptation of that, but they transplant it into the French Foreign Legion in 1997 or 9, whenever that movie takes place. It's really good. I liked it. And then I also watched Sherlock Jr., which is a Buster Keaton movie. I had like an hour and change to spare, so I needed something short to watch, and Sherlock Jr. is on the Sight and Sound poll, so I decided to watch it. It's okay. The General's better. The General is the better Buster Keaton movie for my money. But yeah, Sherlock Jr.'s interesting because they do a bunch of like really outrageous stunts. I mean, that's who Buster Keaton is. He's always almost getting himself killed so he can make a goddamn movie. But they do that, and they do a bunch of really creative special effects, considering the movie came out in 1924 of all times. But yeah, three winners. All three movies are great. I recommend all of them. I'm done. Chaz, you go now. Go! Go!
All right. So, I watched the Lilo and Stitch movie.
The remake?
The remake. Mm. It actually was pretty good. It actually wasn't bad. I had low expectations because I've heard all these, like, all these angry people, and like, this is, they're just taking it and exploiting the problems within the Hawaiian Child Protective Services, and it's a big honking mess. And no, like, the story's a little more fleshed out. It makes more sense. Like, again, the animated story itself is, you know, is what it is. It's good. And they take that story and build on to things that, you know, fill in a couple of gaps and give some character arcs to those who didn't necessarily have a full fleshed out story. And I don't know. I just thought it was pretty good. There was some emotional diarrhea. It was pretty good.
I heard some stuff about how allegedly they minimized her sister's role in the movie or something like that. Is it true or not?
What, who, they minimized her sister's role?
Like, something like that, her story's not as important, or she doesn't have as much in say in the plot or something, like, compared to the original.
You mean like Lilo or her sister Nani?
Lilo's sister Nani.
No, Nani is like so much more of a deal in this movie.
Okay.
Like, Yeah. Actually, that's the whole thing, is like they give her character arc. It's a huge difference in the movie. Yeah. They definitely give her way more like development in terms of things that happen and whatnot. The one thing that is really big, slight spoilers, if you guys are okay with that, yeah. If warning for those, if you don't want to know anything about the movie, Gantu is not in the movie at all.
Oh yeah, I did hear about
that. They cut Captain Cranky Head, Gantu, the big fish alien, that like whale guy that is tracking him down. Which
cool design though.
He has a cool design, but it is funny that it's one of those movies where they cut a bad guy, but he's not really a bad guy. He's literally an intergalactic like hero that's trying to just follow orders to capture a weapon of mass destruction. That's what Stitch is.
He's a two-stepping bureaucrat.
I guess Dom had that.
So they made this mad scientist the bad guy in this one, and it made way more sense. Like, I still enjoy and appreciate what the original one was, and also kudos to them for doing the thing that I think a lot of these movies that they've adapted and tried to make live action. I've not watched all of them, by the way. I've watched a handful of them, but I've watched enough of them to see that if they don't make something, if they literally just try to make the exact same movie and it's just updated CGI, it just seems like a big waste, right? Like, they need to do something a little different or more fleshed out. Like, you don't make a totally different movie, but at the same time, like, add something to it that makes a reason for why you would make the movie again. Otherwise, what's the point? And they did that with this movie, I felt. I felt like this was an appropriate remake, and I can appreciate it for what it was. I would watch it again. And it doesn't take away from watching the other one. I would also watch the original one again at a different time. I really enjoyed it.
Did Agent Coulson come in and be like Stitch or putting a team together at the end in a post-credit scene?
No, there was no Avengers post-cut scene.
Damn it.
Sorry. Yeah. But yeah, it was pretty good. We all enjoyed it as a family. Everybody really liked it. So unfortunately, I had to work a lot in between the time that we did stuff. So there was only one other thing I did, but it was a big thing. So this past weekend, I had my big Pokemon tournament, right? So I played in back-to-back $3,000 tournaments. So the first one was, at least importance to me, it was the lesser of the two. It was just a standard event with the new cars that just came out, the new Team Rocket set that's out. And I had plans to just try to play a meta deck. And I was like, you know what? I just want to have fun. So I built something else. It's kind of like, I knew it wasn't going to be tier one meta nonsense, but I want to have fun and play it. And that's exactly what I did. I had fun. I enjoyed it. And yeah, I had some losses, but they were all close games. And everybody I played with was real fun. And I had a great time that day. I think I looked back just now at the standings. I got 56th place out of, I think it was 129 people. So still finished above the curve, but, like I said, with a non-meta deck. So I thought that was pretty neat. But then came the next day and I wasn't playing around. So played in the Gym Leader Challenge. I want to get this out because I feel proud of this. This is the largest Gym Leader Challenge event, as far as like a cash prize and anything, to happen as of yet. So in terms of like events or anything to exist in Pokemon, this is the largest of its kind. This was the most competitive event of its kind. There were, I think, 89 total people there. I came in and I literally wore my Team Water jersey. For those not familiar, Gym Leader Challenge is a format where you can only play one type of Pokemon. You choose water, you can only play water Pokemon. If you choose metal, you have to play metal Pokemon. So, you know, giving your type away, like, gives someone an advantage of knowing what you're weak to and whatever, you know, when you're playing. But, well, a lot of people just like, wore regular clothes or just didn't do anything specific. No, I showed up with my max rarity blinged out water deck. Like, all the things are the shiniest they can be. I'm wearing the blue sleeves. I have the water deck, the playmat. I'm wearing I'm literally just wearing the Team Water jersey. blue hat and shoes to match, like, just went all in and was like, hey, I'm playing this. If you think you can beat me, it's fine. And I won the whole goddamn event. So I got first place. I was very excited. I also managed to make a lot of people really mad at me because this event started at 10 a.m. It was 12 hours of nonstop play. Because, and the main reason being is the top eight was best of three. These games go really long, so the whole Swiss rounds were best of one, 40 minutes. It was best of three, 90 minutes. And all three of my matches in the top eight went to time. Not for anyone like doing anything wrong, just that's what these matches do. But the finals was against a control deck that I went back and watched snippets, and literally for like an hour, the people who were commentary, the commentary includes the person who created this format is Tricky Jam, the guy that literally made this format a thing. And at one point he even says like, man, Chucky's toast. There's no way he wins this. And like, is literally sailing down the river. Like, there's no way I'm winning. I'm stalling for time, but this guy's eventually going to finish me. And then eventually he gets something and he's like, wait a second. The judges are like talking. They're realizing something. And it was apparent that I had done all the things I needed to do to make sure I could win. I did the whole, I did the football thing. I'm running the clock out. I'm not allowing him a chance to get back in. And people were fucking furious about it. And I wasn't even trying to intentionally do that to a point. Like, I was so exhausted that I just couldn't make, like, my decision. My brain was fried. I was trying to think about 10 different things, and 2 plus 2 equaled potato. So everyone else is like, oh, he's doing this on purpose. He needs to do something. Oh, blah, 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 blah. And I'm thinking, I'm just doing my best. Like, I hate it here. This is awful. I want to go home. I'm hungry. My head hurts. So in the meantime, I play my game out. But then finally, I realize the same thing. Like, there's only a few minutes left. I can actually win this game. So then I pivot and I make a move, and I end up winning. And that ends up being the thing. And it was really, really, really something. And actually, they got me on camera. I finished it. The guy like gave me a fist bump. We talked. We had a good match. And then I'm like, "Can I get Tylenol?" And they announced on like live stream. It was like, "Chucky just asked for Tylenol." They got me taking medicine on camera because I legit had a headache. It was bad.
You know, you gotta be a heel now. You know that, right? You
gotta,
your taunt is you gotta go down on one knee like fucking football style to run out the clock.
Yeah. Oh no, I already wrote it. I wrote a tournament report about the whole thing and talked, and you know, it was even like, yeah. I mean, I know my play was sloppy, but I was so exhausted. Like, I don't have any other excuse for it other than like none of my other matches went that way. I had an enjoyable time playing with others, and I felt like I played really well. Obviously, I won the whole tournament, but like, I feel like I made some really, really strong plays and decisions. And actually, the person that created the deck that I played in the finals, like, he wasn't the person playing it, but I actually played him. He won Saturday's event. So the guy that won the Saturday 3K, I played round one in the Sunday event. Different format, but we're playing each other, and he had created the deck that I was playing against. Well, his buddy is also playing it, and that's who I played in the finals. And at the end, he came up to me and said, that was amazing. Like, there's no reason, like, there's no way, like, very few people could have found a way to win that way, and you managed to do it. So, like, that made me feel validated because, like, everyone else is mad about it, but he, like, appreciated, hey, someone actually found out a way to, like, squeak a win against this in almost, like, an impossible way. So, I feel like I etched myself into some Pokemon history there.
Where's the stream, by the way?
So, if you follow Tricky Jim on YouTube or on their Twitch stream, you can watch it. I would recommend, if you are going to watch it, do it on their Twitch, because for some reason, their feed cut out. Like, I guess it literally went too long, because they just streamed the entire tournament, so it cut out at 12 hours, and that was like 5 minutes left in the match. So it literally cut out. It did the Goldberg Diamond Dallas Page Halloween Havoc 1996, or 97 or whatever it was. It literally just cuts out and right at the end. So if you want to watch the actual, the hilarious thing is that okay. My perspective is, and I'll move on after this. I have literally nothing else on the after, but for my perspective, I am dead. I have a headache. I need food. I have to piss. I have to also stop for gas and drive 2.5 hours to get home and then work a 12-hour shift the next morning. And it's like 10:30. So they give me my check, congratulate me. No one ever says anything else to me. And I'm like, cool. And I just get the fuck out of there and leave. Turns out they had already set up, oh, we're going to get a post-match winner's interview from Chucky in just a moment. And no one told me, and I just left. So then after they had to go back on air after a minute and be like, oh, well, we were told that, he had a long drive, and he's got a long way to go, so he had to leave. So it was even more of like a heel move that I made everybody wait that long and figure out how to win instead of conceding, and then I just bailed.
We have to announce Chaz has left the building.
Yeah.
He did like a Montreal screw job type of thing and just fucking left.
Oh, dude, I got the fuck out of there. And, I would have had – if someone would have said, hey, can you stick around for an interview, happily would have talked about it. Probably would have sounded like an idiot because I probably sounded like a stroke victim talking because I wasn't making coherent thoughts. And, yeah, it'd been fine to do. However, there wasn't even mention it, and it didn't cross my mind because nothing else was other than I need to pee, I need to eat, I need to get home. So, yeah, I left. But, hey, it is what it is. I messaged him and asked if he wanted me to do an interview after. I've heard nothing back, so I don't know if they're going to want to interview me. That's okay, though.
They're like, we don't want to talk to Time Killer Chucky.
Yeah, he'll just do something stupid on here and we won't get any views. But nah, it's been really mixed. And like I'm a part of that community now. I've met a lot of really cool people over the weekend, and I joined the Cardboard Warriors subs and been talking to people there. So
nice.
Yeah. No, it's really cool. Everyone's been really, really great, honestly. And a lot of them also were like, no, like that's the thing is anyone in those groups that are actually about this and like competitive, not a single person there has said anything negative. If anything, we're only saying positive things. So it's literally the people that are flaming about it are just people that don't play.
I got a stupid question. Are there four Pokemon types that are horses?
What?
Are there Pokemons that are horses that are four of them? Because you can create the four horsemen in the Pokemon.
I mean, technically, they're
gym leader challenge. You can, but
you couldn't in gym leader challenge because they'd have to. They're all different types. But actually, you could build four different decks around those. But...
Oh, no, I'm not talking about like a deck. Just have like a group of people. Just create the four horsemen.
Yeah, no, they definitely exist. There's definitely four. They're more than four. You can make more than four. There's a lot of horses. There's Fire Pony. There's Mud Pony. There's Fairy Unicorn Water Pony. There's a lot of them.
Just Chaz showing up in a fucking suit, holding a fucking title, and just yelling into the fucking microphone.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, all right. But no. Yeah, anyway, that's all I did this weekend. It was a lot of fun, and yeah.
Victory lap.
Woo.
All right. Zach, how about you next?
Why me?
I don't know. Why not? Why not?
All right, fine. Watch some more old Star Trek. Watched 3 episodes since last time. I watched Return to Tomorrow, which is that was an episode where like some telepathic aliens trapped in like spheres take over 3 of the crew's bodies so they can create android bodies so they can continue to live forever.
Nice.
Because they like destroyed their world in some crazy war or some bullshit, and there was like just 3 of them left or whatever.
Neat.
One of them was evil and ruined everything. so
that's never happened before.
Yeah, so like the whole thing was like the original alien guy that they made contact with seemed to be cool, and he's like, please, we need to borrow your bodies so we can like continue to exist, and we can teach you things and all this stuff. He was on the up and up, but like there was a lady alien of them, and then there was another guy, and that guy was evil, and he took over Spock's body, so that means he could beat everybody up and all kinds of shit.
Clever.
Yeah. That's a pretty good episode. There's another one called Patterns of Force. I really liked this one because there was Nazis in it. it was like a weird pseudo time travel episode, sort of, but not really. Like, what, they fake you out. So they go to like this planet, and there's like two people that were like, they had bad relations or something, or they used to, but allegedly they stopped, they made peace or whatever. And they're looking for like some guy who's like a historian from like the Federation or whatever. He was supposed to go there to help with like diplomatic shit or something. Well, when they get there, they go down on the planet. There's literally Nazis walking around, like from Germany. And it's like, what the hell's happening? And it takes a while for them to figure out what was happening. And apparently, the Federation historian created a situation where he basically recreated the German Nazi state for like one of these people in this world. And his theory was, if he could control, you know, like take out some of the bad things in it, that he's like, I'll create this really efficient state, and these people can like hurry up and like get to where they need to be, and society can flourish. And basically, he just fucked up. That's the short of it. He didn't intend for it to end up the way that it did. He just created a situation where it was like he recreated Nazi Germany by accident. it was just kind of wild to see them interacting that way. The funniest thing that with like people like this, the funniest part though is I think there was a part where it was Spock and Kirk, they were on the planet and they had to steal some uniforms. And Kirk was like a Nazi officer, and Spock was like, "You make a really convincing Nazi captain." That made me laugh. He just kind of looked at him like, "What the fuck?" Then the last episode I watched was By Any Other Name, and it was like another episode where like these aliens were like fucking marooned on this planet, and then they wanted to leave, so they just took over the Enterprise and forced. They had this bullshit device where they could just freeze people wherever they wanted to, and it wasn't like they could just freeze one guy. They clicked this thing on their little belt buckle, and they could freeze like 10 people in like a cube in a room or something.
That's OP.
It was OP as fuck. Basically, they couldn't stop them. It's like anytime they tried to do anything to them, they'd get froze. And then, like, the leader was like, "You disobeyed me, Kirk. Now I'm gonna have to punish you." So, like, he turned two of his red shirt guys into, like, fucking D20s and, like, crushed one of them.
Jeez.
And then he reconstituted the other one. And he was like, "See, I can bring them back. But the other one's dead." He's like, "Don't disobey me again, motherfucker," like that kind of thing.
Damn.
I was like, how the fuck are they going to get out of this, actually? Because these guys are so OP. Like, how are they going to figure this one out? They found out a way. Basically, these weird aliens, like, ended up in human-like bodies, and then they figured out, well, if they're in human-like bodies, they are, you know, they have to fall prey to human emotions and, like, other things, other flaws humanity have, so they, like, preyed on that. And it worked. Pretty cool episodes. I think I like the Nazi one best just because of how crazy it was. It was a good, insane one. I watched three of the Rascal Does Not Dream movies. That was the slice of life anime where there was like weird X-Files shit I was talking about, where people would experience weird paranormal events without, like, all of a sudden, like, somebody's looping and they don't know why they're looping. So they have to figure out why they're stuck in a time loop.
But that's interesting.
It is cool anime though. Yeah. But the movies are like kind of continuing that story. I'm not going to get too much into them. If you like the anime or you want to check it out, check it out. There's three movies. They're good. Watched Final Destination 5. It was bad. they're all kind of bad with like, I can kind of like sort of, I'll sort of stick up for the first one a little bit, but it's just more of the same shit. It's just funny.
Mm-hmm.
That's an example of a movie I will say is worse than Super Mario Brothers, the movie.
Really?
Oh yeah. By a pretty big margin.
Huh.
Gotta watch more bad movies so you can figure out what really fucking sucks.
Nah.
I know, you're too much of a snob.
Well, just, you know, I don't want to watch a bad movie. I want to watch a good movie.
Well, it's, you like bad movies, though, right?
There are bad movies that I like, yes.
You'll never discover anymore if you don't try.
I mean, movies and meat are my favorite analogy. Like, I love filet, and I would almost always prefer filet over other meats, but I can't always have filet. And, you know, I do enjoy a boiled hot dog every now and again.
Sometimes you gotta have a boiled hot dog.
Yeah, that's right.
Would you have a McDonald's fish filet?
Fish filet? Mm-hmm. Oh, that sounds like Final Destination 5 to me. Not my taste. not my taste. hey, but to be fair, that's not even fair, though, because, like, that's not a bad thing. Like, some people like fish filet. So, like, I guess it would just be like, it's not my taste of movie. I don't know. It's like, some people like romance movies, I guess. I don't know.
It sucks, it's stupid, but it's fucking funny. That's basically my takeaway from it. That's like the whole series. I watched Alexander the Great from 1956, and I watched it because I put it, it came up in my Prime, like, suggestions, and it was like, oh, yeah, I want to watch this movie because it's about Alexander the Great, and it was just okay.
Oh, I got excited. I was like, oh, now I want to see this,
I kind of want to see the Oliver Stone one now, too, because, like, it seems like, I guess, people like that one more. Even from like a historical standpoint a little bit, cause like even this one's not, really that accurate compared to like what really happened. Like there's some things like the infamous, event where they have like the party and then like fucking Philip falls off the couch. He can't cross the couch. And then Alexander basically makes fun of him and cuts his nuts off in front of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
They recreate that scene. Like Richard Burton is Alexander. He's pretty good as being Alexander the Great. There's a lot of acting in this movie, but it's acting. Like the writing is like not that good. It's like, man, I also feel like the movie's kind of too long a little bit. I don't know. It's just kind of flat. Like there's just not enough characterization beyond there's you know
so much interesting stuff to draw from. Like I feel like would have to. It's wild.
You could even like take some creative liberties a little bit to like jazz up the characters a little bit. It's a fucking movie. It doesn't have to be like fucking one for one.
Yeah, I'm like semi interested in all Alexander the Great movies because so many people have been like, oh, this might be something I can make something great out of, and they've never like really nailed it. That and Napoleon. A lot of people have made Napoleon movies, and they're always like just shy of masterpieces or just shy of great or something. It's weird.
They fall short somehow. This is one of those, and it is a great looking movie though. It's shot on like fucking VistaVision or whatever the hell, and it's cool. Like it's a '50s movie, a high budget '50s movie, so it looks great. The most interesting thing I found out about it was they were trying to get Charlton Heston to be Alexander, and they turned it down. And the funny thing, me too. I thought
is this before or after Ben Hur?
I think after. I think Ben Hur predates this movie.
Okay.
But the funny thing was, is his response. Why he rejected it was he said Alexander the Great is the perfect movie to make that you could make badly, like that, like that's how it would end up. He just predicted it would suck basically, and he was right.
Too big to fail, he knew.
He knew, and he was, I guess he was on something, because so far nobody's made like a really good one, I guess.
No.
Then I watched Cross of Iron. That's a Richard Coburn movie where he's like a this came out in 77. He's like a sergeant in like the Nazi army towards like the end of the war or something. Like they're getting fought back from like Russia, basically. They're retreating. And it's just about him being like a kind of like a burned out, like I'm so sick of this fighting and all this bullshit, like in an army kind of story.
Hmm.
And then there's an asshole officer who's like of Prussian descent, and he like thinks he can come in there and like, I can turn all this around. The reason why we're fucking losing is because all the soldiers have lost their discipline and everything.
And also, like, they're all 16 now.
Yeah. they, that is something they show. There's like a new recruit. He's like a kid.
Yeah.
And he doesn't know anything.
So is the movie good?
It's pretty good, yes. It's like a gritty 70s war movie. The sound's not great. It's like, I don't think it's a high budget movie. Like, they do a lot of shit in it, but it doesn't. I think it's like a mid budget 70s movie or something.
Got a cool cover.
That has a cool cover. It has a great line, too, at the end where something happens and James Coburn says, "Now I'm going to show you where the Iron Crosses grow." Because that fucking officer wants an Iron Cross so bad.
Oh, okay.
That's the thing.
Put it on the old watch list.
It's pretty cool. It's on Prime, I think.
Okay. I got that.
Watch the F1 Grand Prix. I don't have much to say other than I wanted to clarify. Max just ran into George like on purpose at the end, it seems like. So if that wasn't very clear, that was the big thing that happened, really.
At first, it's like, maybe it was an accident, or maybe, like, he's on those hard tires, maybe, like, he didn't have enough grip, and, like, all the telemetry shows, no, he probably did it on purpose.
He fucking ran in. It was, like, chaos. It's like, hey, somebody crashed, they had to pit in the last fucking 5-6 laps or whatever.
Did they fight?
Sort of. I mean, like, what happened was Max pitted, and, like, he didn't realize that he was going to get put on a hard tire. That's what started all this.
They only had hard tires left.
Hard tires suck at this track. They're fucking worthless, basically. And he's like, "Mate, what tire is this?" Because he started driving, and he's like noticing it's like not good. He was like, "It's hard. It's all we got." And he's probably like, "Fuck." So he's slower than everybody. And then the race starts. He gets past Charles. Chuck passes him. And then George, like, he kind of nudges him a little bit. I don't think it was intentional, though. Then George like kind of ran into him sort of also on accident and ran him off the track. And then he was like, "Fuck, what happened to me? Like, is what I do to everybody else. Now I'm pissed."
Pretty much. Yeah.
So then he like got back on track and then hit George.
Well, that he passed him off the track on the escape road. Yeah. And his pit wall came on and said, "Let George pass, 'cause we don't want a penalty." And he was like, "Yeah, I'll let this fucking British bitch pass. I'll show him. It'll be his final pass." I think lost his cool a little bit. Because he like did that and got ahead of him. And George is on the radio like, "What the fuck?" And then he let him pass anyway. It's like, no, too late. You get a big penalty, young man. And bumped him all the way down to P10.
Yeah, he got fucked pretty bad on that. This is all his fault, though.
No, it was 100%. Like, I think they put him on hard tires, and it was a mistake, but they didn't know it was going to be a mistake for sure, and he just lost his cool, and he was a huge bitch about it, and it sucks. I am a Max Verstappen fan, but no, he was being a huge bitch. He sucks.
Yeah, he was being too much. I thought he was past all that, but apparently he's not.
Who knows?
He might just be getting frustrated because of how not great the team is doing, really.
Oh, but lots of other cool stuff happened. Hulk got P5. That rules.
The Hulk came back, brother.
Grandpa Alonso finally got some points.
Finally.
Lots of other cool things happened.
Yeah, it was good. And then I watched the IndyCar Detroit GP because I was going to watch the Indianapolis 500. I heard it was fucking awesome. I still haven't gone back and watched it. I'm going to. But I watched the qualifying for the Detroit GP2 just because it was on and I had family here. We were in the room watching the TV and it was on, so I was able to watch it. So I watched both the qualifying and the race. IndyCar is a lot like Formula One, actually. It's just American.
It's like Formula One, but they eat hamburgers while they do it.
All
right.
Sort of. That and it's like all the cars are equal for the most part. Kind of like, you know, NASCAR is like, yeah, the cars are equal. Yeah. Mostly. Like, weirdly.
I think there's an IndyCar event in Northern Ohio. When are we going to that?
I guess we can't. I'm into it now, I guess. I got to learn everybody and like all the lay of the land.
There's more of them, right? There's more cars on the grid.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot more cars on the grid in IndyCar. There's like
38?
30 something like that. Yeah.
Okay.
There's a bunch of different teams. McLaren has an IndyCar team.
Yeah, Arrow McLaren. Yeah.
Andretti's got an IndyCar team too. There's no crossover stars that I can tell. Everybody seems to be like, "Oh, I wanted to go race an IndyCar," and that's like the biggest thing I did so far. Because used to be some guys that would cross over into IndyCar back in the day. from different racing. But I like it. Yeah, it's a lot like F1. It's also like it makes things interesting that the cars are equal because for the most part, because it makes the racing a lot more interesting. There's a lot more overtaking and just craziness going on. The Detroit circuit was really small, though. There was a spot on the track where guys were just like, there seemed to be a crash like every few laps in this one particular spot.
Huh. IndyCar still races at Watkins Glen, don't they? Or do they not? Or do you know?
They did. They came back to it a couple years ago, and apparently it ruled. So maybe they'll go back. I don't know. I hope so. But yeah, cool stuff. I like it. I guess I'm going to keep watching it. There's a guy named Will Power. That's fucking amazing. That's his name. I'm like, you got to come on. That's a gimmick name. He's like from Australia or something. I like that guy because of his name. Yeah. I started playing Fire Emblem again. I'm back on my shit with that game. Not much else to say other than I'm trying to finish it. I'm getting past my gaming constipation. So far, I've dumped 3 logs, and I got like this one to go. And then I'll be unblocked. I'll be regular again. That's all I got.
All right, Dubs, take us home.
Okay, I did nothing.
shit.
Yeah, damn. The only thing I did was
Super. He was too busy watching the Super Mario Brothers 3 times.
He saw it 3 times to watch it in every psychological state he could think of.
He could have watched 2 other movies.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I watched it while taking a shit. I watched it while jerking off. Watched it.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
So I bought an N64 controller for my Switch. So hopefully the game will be better to play with.
I wish I had one of those.
Yeah, it's cheap. I got it on Amazon for like $35. I mean, it's not a Nintendo brand. It's it's a third party. It's wireless and everything. So I'm like, cool.
It works pretty well.
Yeah.
Nice. That's cool to hear.
Maybe I'll just do that then. I was like lusting after the Nintendo one. I didn't realize there were third party ones that look like the, you know, the mangled mutant 64 controller.
Yeah, it has the old school see through the controller thing.
Oh hell yeah.
Yeah, so I got the red one. I'll send you a link on Facebook on what I got.
Yeah, do it.
I also want to bring this up. It's going to be old news by the time this comes out, I guess, or unless you watch it on YouTube. The people that did the Hitman games, like the newest Hitman games, are doing a 007 game, which I'm kind of excited for about.
Yeah, that might be
pretty cool. That seems interesting. Killer. Yeah, we're talking about gaming, too. Let's just rev up the engines here. I saw some news today. Again, it'll be old news by then, but apparently Call of Duty has decided to take the microtransaction bullshit one step further. Has anyone heard about this?
No, tell me, please.
Okay, so now, apparently in the game, when you switch weapons or loadouts, they are actively throwing microtransactions ads to get you to buy other customizations, like, live game. Like, how ridiculous is that?
Like, while you're in combat, or it'd be a loadout screen, right?
Like loadout screens, okay, or changing weapons. Like, literally, you can't even get away from it. They're throwing ads at you right in the moment of you just changing weapons.
So you're putting a fucking paywall, essentially.
Yeah,
a paywall if you want to climb it.
Yeah. Right, they're just flashing in front of it. They just couldn't like avoid just like not having it there. They had to just like put it there. Just
so what?
Crazy.
So what? When is the AAA bubble gonna fucking pop? Because
I mean, people keep saying stuff like that. I don't know if it's gonna be. It'll be gradual. It won't be a pop. It'll be a deflation.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be like a little pinhole, and it's like deflating. I think it's starting right now.
I mean, yeah, it'll probably just happen when the rest of society collapses.
Well, I think GTA 6 is going to save it, in my opinion. If GTA 6 is like the same as GTA 5, essentially, as far as the microtransactions, because people fucking still buy that shit anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be one of the largest media launches in history or whatever. Yeah,
It's just like quality stuff needs to be better, and it seems like indie and, you know, like the people that did Mass Effect, like the first 3 games, broke off and they're doing this other game called Exodus and stuff. and I have the book for it, and they have like a YouTube series of them making it. Like, I look forward to games like that now, where like my favorite developers are doing their own game. Now, sometimes that doesn't work out all too good at certain times, but I look forward to that than, you know, a game from a big publisher. Like, fucking Ubisoft, you motherfuckers are teasing me with fucking Splinter Cell. They just posted on their fucking little Facebook, because that's all I have now is Facebook, a picture of Sam Fisher. No context at all. And if they do what they did to me for the past couple of years, and they go, oh, he's going to be in another game that's not Splinter Cell, or, oh, he's going to be in a mobile game, or, oh, he's going to be in a VR game. If anything is like that, go fuck yourself, Ubisoft, and I hope you fucking die.
A Splinter Cell VR game might rip, though.
It might rip, but, like, I don't want to play VR.
I know, I get it.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody's really doing VR games. It's like big projects anymore. It seems to be smaller stuff now.
Yeah, no, it's diminishing. Ubisoft did do that huge Assassin's Creed VR game, though, so it's not impossible.
Yeah, I'm just, like I said, I'm excited that the Hitman developers are doing 007, because it makes me wonder, is it going to be like a story game, or are you just going to be James Bond where you're taking missions and doing shit? Because that would be cool, too. Like, maybe a little bit of both. Maybe there's a single player, and maybe there's a thing that you can do, like, free mode and just do missions. That would be pretty cool, Hitman in my opinion. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
But, yeah, that's all I've done. So I guess watch Artificial Intelligence,
bitch,
and then come back. Whoa. Here.
Bitch. Yeah.
Andy, take us away.
When you come back, or now, whenever, it doesn't matter. Make sure you comment, like, and subscribe. We're on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcast. We're everywhere. We're on YouTube. If you need the video, we were being a little mean this time to our audio listeners. I was showing pictures, and you know, we always got those slides, and you'll get the quickest version. But if you need the refined version, you got to stick to that podcast. So, yeah, make sure you leave comments. Tell us what we're doing wrong. We'll ignore it as we always do, and we'll act like we've improved. We'll act like every episode's better than the last, because it is. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Monkeys.
Every woman knows the feeling, that quick glance over your shoulder in a parking lot, the moment you grip your keys a little tighter walking home. That's exactly why She's Birdie created Birdie 3.0, a personal safety alarm designed by women for women. Just pull the pin and Birdie sounds a loud, attention-grabbing siren. We are talking as loud as a jet engine at 100 feet to help deter danger and alert people nearby. And the new Birdie 3.0 is even better. It's rechargeable, includes a built-in flashlight, and features an on and off switch, so it activates only when you want it to. No embarrassing false alarms. It's small, non-violent, travel safe, and easy to clip to your keys, bag, or backpack, so it's always within reach. It's also super cute and comes in tons of colors to match basically any outfit, so you actually want to have it on you, because everyone deserves to feel safer. Learn more and get your Birdie 3.0 today at cheesebirdie.com.